If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk college football now with Coach Gary Barnett. Coach, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Looking forward to Thanksgiving. How about you guys?
Same thing. Looking very forward to Thanksgiving. And looking
best
forward,
holiday of the year.
Looking forward to Friday because and how great this is why you got to love sports, Coach. A few months ago, it felt like Missouri fans, because I was one of them, thinking, "Boy, oh boy, football's so disappointing. I can't wait until basketball." And now with the news of Michael Porter Jr. being out for the year yesterday, I found myself telling my boys and saying, well, thank goodness football is playing so well. Can't wait to watch Drew Lock on Friday to take away from the disappointment of Michael Porter Jr.'s injury, because Mizzou football has been playing very well. So let's focus on the positive there. They beat Vanderbilt the same way they beat Tennessee and Florida. They kept a struggling team struggling, and they dominated Vanderbilt. What did you think of Mizzou's fifth win in a row?
Well, it's pretty amazing to see what's happened. I mean, there's been a 60-point turnaround between what they were giving up and what they're giving up now, and what they were scoring and what they're scoring now. It's phenomenal. You know, they've done a great job. You got to give the coaching staff a really, really a lot of credit, because that's hard to do. I don't, you know, that's almost impossible to do. But as we talked, I think all through the year, is that, you know, this was a team that was probably a little immature and needed to grow and mature a little bit. And I think through the work of the coaches and through the work of the players, they withstood all the criticism. They sort of hunkered down and have now just completed one of the almost a historical turnaround. So you got to give them credit. I mean, that's been awesome. And, you know, they got a real chance. And you think about it, they got a chance to win 8 games this year. And to go back to the 1st of October, the middle of October, and if anybody would have said that, they would have probably been, who knows what would have happened. But that's a phenomenal job. And, you know, as an alum, I'm really proud of the way that team has turned around and the job that Coach Odom's done in that process.
Only 12 teams have started 1-5 and ended up going to a bowl game, and this would be the first team to do it in the SEC since 1983 when Ole Miss did it. I want to ask you about Drew Lock. We had him on the show earlier this week, and I know you've coached and you've watched and you've coached against many, many very good quarterbacks. But now, because he's been playing so well, there's a lot of buzz that he will have a decision on his hands at the end of this year whether or not to leave early for the NFL. And there was an article yesterday at Pro Football Weekly, and I just wanted to read to you a couple of quotes from an NFL scout that watched Drew Lock during the Vanderbilt game, and he thinks that there's a real chance that Lock could end up declaring for the draft. An NFL scout in attendance said he's throwing his guys open now, major league arm, good athlete. He can play in our league. Now, he can also come back and have one hell of a senior season at Mizzou. So when you watch him from that angle, from looking at him possibly as an NFL prospect and what he could do if he leaves early versus what he could do if he stayed another year, what's your opinion on Drew Lock's future?
Well, I don't think there's any question he can play at the next level. And he's really matured. He throws a deep ball as well as anybody I've seen. And, you know, that's that throw and the sideline-to-sideline throw that he can execute is just exactly what those guys are looking for at that level. You know, whether he comes out or not, or whether he should come out or not, you know, those are so personal, those decisions. And it has a lot to do with how much does he like school, how much is he enjoying being on that team, it's sort of like Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold could come out this year and maybe be the very first pick. I don't think he's going to. And it's because he is a Trojan, and he has grown up wanting to be in that situation and leading them, and he wants to rack up more yards, and he wants to be known for what he's done at USC. And it just depends on Drew, where he is. Family has a great deal to do with that. Is it a family that needs help financially? Is it so many things come into play that it's so hard to tell, and it's so personal. But he will, Missouri coaches will sit down with him. I'm just guessing, but this is what would happen if I were coaching Drew. You'll sit down with him. You'll talk about these things. You'll submit his name to the committee. There's a committee that will watch all of his film, and in 2 weeks get back to you and tell you exactly where they think he'd be drafted. Get that information, and then make your decision. Don't talk to agents. Avoid all that. You can talk to them, but you can't. You can't take anything from them, and those sort of things. But agents are always—they've got one thing in mind, and that's the agent. The guy that's been with him is Barry Odom. But so many times, young guys and families won't choose to listen to the coach because they think he's good for college, but he's not good for the NFL. So they'll rely on an agent, or they'll rely on somebody they don't even know that well. So you get that information, and then you make your decision. And my thought is normally if you're a first round draft choice, if that's how they judge you, and trust me, those guys are right 99% of the time, that committee is. So if they say, you're a first round draft choice, you're a first 15 or first 25 pick, it's really hard to turn that down. And Missouri fans wouldn't want to hear this, but you can always go back and get your degree. He's probably already close to getting it anyway. If you're not a first rounder, then if you're a second rounder, you got a tough decision to make. If you're a third rounder or below, there's a lot of fun yet to be had, and a lot of good football and fun football and camaraderie and that sort of stuff before you enter into the business world. And that's what he's got to realize. He's going into a really rock hard, tough business world. And is he ready for that? That plays into it as well, his maturity.
All right, Coach, before we move on, what do you expect to happen on Friday afternoon, Mizzou at Arkansas?
Well, I tell you, there's no way you can avoid going with momentum here, and Missouri certainly has it. And once again, they've got a coach that's in a little bit of a tough situation, and people are calling for his head. And, that can work for you, and it could work against you. So who knows how this one will go. But Missouri's got a lot of momentum. They're really hard to stop. Their offense is really hard to contain. And I don't see Arkansas having the capacity to do that for 60 minutes. So I think Missouri wins this game. There's just too much momentum going for the Tigers.
All right, Coach, I want to ask get your insights on a story that broke last week after we had already had you on the show. But I think you have some perspective on it because this is a story involving Jim Leavitt, who was on the staff at Colorado, where you've been doing the color commentary, and obviously you're very plugged in Colorado anyway. And the story came out last week that Kansas State University had a deal lined up with Jim Leavitt to become the head coach in waiting, so to speak, and that the deal was nixed by Bill Snyder. Bill Snyder said earlier this week that he did, in fact, offer Jim Leavitt a spot on his coaching staff last year, but didn't really want to get into or acted as if he didn't know much about any of the rest of the details of that story. Do you have any insight for us on what happened, or at least any thoughts on it from your perspective, being around Jim as much as you have?
I don't have any insights on it. I can, I'm not sure how Kansas State officials would view, the reason that Jim is no longer a head coach, and whether he's sort of lived through the the political issues that surround incidents like that, you know, whether or not they're non-issues and with for him coming back to Kansas State, should that be an option? So I don't know. You just don't know enough about how people think about that, and you know, certainly how Bill thinks about it. I think that he very well could have offered Jim a job, although Jim left in he left in December to go to Oregon, and so that offer would have had to come pretty early in, early in that part of the season, but late in the football season from Bill Schneider. So, and if Bill said it, then I'm sure it's probably true. But I'm sure part of what Bill Schneider wants to do is, if he is ready to step down, and K-State officials have said that when he tells us, and that's when it'll happen. If he is ready, he certainly wants to have a say in who it is that takes over for him. And I'm sure K-State officials are going to listen to that. So, no new insights. The question is, will the incident at South Florida follow him? And I think Bill's going to make the call.
So, well, one coach who had, I guess, a similar incident that got him out of the head coaching profession for a small period of time was Mike Leach. And he seems to be, quite popular at Washington State now. Does that make it any easier for a guy like Jim Leavitt to get back in as a head coach?
Well, again, in Leach's situation, Leach couldn't become the head coach at Washington. He couldn't become the head coach at UCLA, which are places he interviewed. But he could become the head coach at Washington State. Mm-hmm. And it depends on where it is you're trying to fit in. Pullman, Washington is the perfect fit for Mike Leach. It's just a smaller community. It's away from the politics of big cities and those sort of things. So for Mike Leach, it was a perfect job. And I think it's Mike Leach is just the way he does things. That's a perfect fit there. I don't know that works every place. So I think you apply the same situation as K-State is Manhattan, Kansas, one of those places where Jim Leavitt can go and be okay and make it a good fit. And I don't have the answer to that. Only you guys would, or the, you know, it's a guess. You know, it's a crapshoot. But because you never know. You know, they didn't know when they hired Mike Leach it was going to be. And his first 2 years were struggles, guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, he went through a lot of players and, you know, he said a lot of things, did a lot of things, and everybody's frowned, wrinkled up, and everything else. So, who knows? Who knows?
Gary Barnett's our guest. Well, we wondered how K-State would respond after that news came out, and boy, they go to Stillwater and beat Oklahoma State, and so now they've set themselves up for a chance to finish strong, hosting a good Iowa State football team. And so, if you would just tell us what your reaction was to K-State pulling that upset, and what you think they will do against Iowa State.
Well, my opinion, that was the best game of the year for K-State. I mean, to beat that team that needed to win that game and at home to get back in the championship game, that was a huge win for them. So, and to do it with a third-string quarterback. So, you know, kudos to K-State. What a terrific job that was. And, you know, they're coming home to play Iowa State, and Iowa State, they always give Iowa State problems. I don't know that Iowa State's a better football team than K-State. So, new coach at Iowa State, so maybe the hangover and the sort of the past doesn't make any difference now. But, you've got both teams that are bowl eligible. And, you know, technically Iowa State could still play in the championship game should something happen to TCU, so they've got a lot to play for. K-State, just not knowing whether this is Bill Schneider's last game or not, that's got to come into it. So it's they always play Iowa State so tough. So I would not bet against K-State in this game.
All right, Coach. The I was in Lawrence, Kansas, for what I thought was going to be a fairly mundane, you know, lopsided affair that not many people would take notice of.
How'd that work out for you?
Well, you know, look, Coach, as a KU fan, I'm just kind of hoping the season mercifully comes to an end and we can focus on the future at some point. And I went, you know, I took my kids. I'm going to support the team. I know what's coming my way, but I'm going to take my lumps and, you know, do all that stuff. And I'm literally walking up the stairs. I had my back turned to the field when the coin toss was taking place because we were walking up to our seats at that time. And I hear there's a whole bunch of OU fans all around. And I hear a bunch of them going, oh, that's not smart. Oh, you don't want to make him mad. Oh, boy. And I turn around, I'm like, what is going on? And then I get on my phone and all hell's breaking loose on Twitter and on social media. Non-handshakes and then gestures. And I'll ask you from the KU side of things first. David Beatty's come out and apologized to KU fans and all that stuff for the way his players conducted things. What are your thoughts on what the KU captains did without telling their coach? As a former coach yourself, what's your reaction to their side of things?
Well, I think both sides are doing the right thing. I think taking the captainship away for both this week for both for Kansas and for Oklahoma, both sides showed, both athletes on both sides showed tremendous, just ridiculous, infantile behavior, immaturity. I think the third thing, they're both sides competitors, and in the heat of battle, you do stupid stuff. They did stupid stuff. There's got to be consequences, natural consequences. I think those are going to occur. You're right. I mean, the fans for OU were right. They don't want to make Mayfield mad, and so just immaturity on both sides, and it's. You know, it very well may cost Baker Mayfield his Heisman chances, and he had a great chance. He's had so many issues anyway. He had a great chance to show maturity and leadership, and in that situation, and he fell victim to his own immaturity by doing what he did. The Kansas guys, I don't know what they're thinking, but I know that Beatty defended their competitiveness. He was proud of the fact they wanted to take a step, put their feet in the ground, and stand their ground. But, you know, get some advice, guys. Get some advice on how to do that. Have a little maturity. Where's the leadership on that football team? I mean, they were the leaders, and they're doing that. So, I think we're probably making a little bit too much of it. And I think it's a little bit of an indication of where the immaturity of players playing the sport are right now. And then we move on. All consequences have occurred. The natural consequences to Baker Mayfield may be that he doesn't win the Heisman just because of this. K-State or KU got beat again. So what good, how'd that work out for you guys? The natural consequences for them is they got their butt handed to them. So there you go. I mean, that's the way the world works, and it should work. When you do stupid stuff, you should have consequences. They both are going to have them, and then you move on.
I think that for KU, the consequence of getting their butts kicked was going to happen whether they made Baker Mayfield mad or not. I mean, they were 37-point underdogs for a reason. But the added consequence is they got humiliated. People talked about this. Nobody would have talked about the KU game nationally, until they did that. But I do think that maybe the long term, we've had players in Kansas City that have been in situations like this. We've talked a lot about Coach, which is once you said like you don't want to get Baker Mayfield mad. Well, it was like that was their game plan. And for KU, that game plan doesn't work because they're not good enough. Even if they get in Baker Mayfield's head, they're still going to get beat. But it did look like it bothered him. And if I'm another team and I look at it and say, well, gosh, if little old Kansas, who had no chance and was no threat to him, could get in his mind and make him do some stupid things on the field, what if we, you know, we're a good team and we want to beat them? And more, isn't this just going to make more teams try to do things to rile him up and to get him to do something stupid? He's going to have to deal with that for a while now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is going to have to deal with it. But you may be given, I don't know, the whole situation more credit than it deserves. I mean, you really think that Baker Mayfield's going to be bothered by three guys not shaking his hand?
He shouldn't be, but it looked like he was. I mean, that's what's so bizarre about it is how could you, if you're Baker Mayfield, get upset by those guys? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, if it did, he's even weaker-minded than I thought. Yeah, I mean, you're right that that's part of the consequences you got talked about, but the biggest thing to come out of it is there's consequences for both sides, and that's just an incident that happened in 2017, and now let's move on from it.
All right, Coach, we're out of time, but real quick, who's going to win the Iron Bowl?
Oh, boy. You know, I was there for that kick six for that game a long time ago. That was a great game. You know, it's at Auburn. I think Auburn pulls the upset. They're healthy.
Really?
Alabama is. Yeah, watch for an upset there.
You like the upset in the Iron Bowl. That would that would be awesome. Look forward to that. I would like to see Auburn win. And you can listen to that game 2:30 on Saturday right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coach, as always, thank you so much for the time, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Same to you guys. Have a great one.
You do the same thing. That is Coach Gary Barnett. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hello, Kansas City. Stephen St. John here for Mattress Firm and their Sleep Giving Sale. For the first time ever, when you spend just $500 on a new mattress, you get a free adjustable base valued at almost $1,200, completely free. Happy holidays indeed. Also, they have some great deals. Maybe if you're not interested in the adjustable base, how does a $99 queen mattress sound? They're on sale at Mattress Firm's Sleep Giving Sale.
It's all just a part of an unbelievable sale that's going on right now. And, you know, a solid foundation is key for a perfect slumber. You can get a free box with any iComfort mattress you buy at Mattress Firm during their Sleep Giving Sale as well. So you got to check it out at Mattress Firm today.
Mattress Firm. Save money so you can sleep happy.